the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again in a little while you will see me." So how long is a little while? What happens when you tell a child to wait a little while? Especially for something that they really want. Doesn't usually seem very little to them, does it? When someone is told that it will take a little while to recover from an injury or an illness, it doesn't seem very little then, does it? When we or a loved one are going through a particularly difficult time and we're told to wait a little while because, well, time heals all wounds, right? Well, it doesn't seem like a little while when we're going through tough times, does it? Jesus said, "A little while and you will see me no longer, and again in a little while you will see me." And the disciples didn't know what it meant either. What is this that he says to us, the disciples respond? How are we to know what this means? And Jesus knows this. The good shepherd sees his confused and frightened sheep. He knows that this is the question that's eating away at them, because they hadn't known anything else for a few years except being with Jesus. How long is a little while, they were thinking. They thought maybe if they knew exactly how long it was, maybe they could deal with it. Maybe they could handle it. Maybe they could manage it. If they knew how long they'd have to be patient and wait, they might get through it. But how hard is it for any of us to wait? How hard is it for any of us to be patient when tough times are happening? How hard is it to be patient when you don't know how long a little while is? And this is written all over Scripture. How many of the Psalms cry out to our Lord, "How long, O Lord, how long must I wait for your deliverance?" It's the cry of God's people because we don't know how long a little while is. And it's still the cry of God's people. How a man with cancer cries out to the Lord, "How long, O Lord, before I know whether I'm going to live or whether I'm going to die?" A widow, lonely, cries out, "How long, O Lord, before I can see my loved one again?" How long, O Lord, we all cry out, because we know that that length of time is out of our hands. Jesus doesn't define the term "a little while" for us in terms of time. A little while isn't something that you set your watch to. It's not something you count down like it's New Year's Eve. A little while is the whole human experience. This experience of this world revolving around us, the crying and despair, the pain and sorrow that happens in this world. But most importantly, this little while is in comparison to the joy that's going to come at the end of it. The eternal joy, the joy that's not a little while, the joy that's for eternity. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." In other words, a little while on this earth, is going to seem, just like it is for that little kid, to be much more than just a little while. It's going to seem like forever when you're in the middle of struggles and strife. But when that time of weeping and sorrow come to an end, the joy will be so great that you'll completely forget about that little while. That's why Jesus compares it to a mother giving birth. And I'm sure all you mothers can attest to this, that yes, there was great pain, but you completely forget that once the joy of that child arrives. What a wonderful description Jesus gives us. St. Paul says in Romans, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us." On that night, Jesus was about to go through his little while. Just hours after these teachings, it would begin. The Lord and Creator of the world would endure pain and suffering and sorrow at the hands of the very people He came to save. He would be mocked and ridiculed. His flesh would be torn with whip and nails and spears. He would hunger and thirst. He would be betrayed by those who would be His friends. He would be forsaken by His Father. And His little while would not end until He breathed His last and gave up His spirit. But that's not the little while He's talking about here. In the upper room, He's not worried about His own little while because He knows what the outcome of His little while will do. He knows that the victory will be His. He will win the victory for these disciples who are scared and for all who love Him throughout time, for you and me. He knows that the victory that He'll win will make that the suffering and the sorrow and the pain and the agony seem truly like a little while when compared to the joy and the peace and the comfort and the assurance that His death on the cross will bring and His resurrection will confirm. He tells them that after that little while is over for us, I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. Now, here in the upper room, He's concerned about those who love Him, concerned about His disciples. And they're having trouble seeing past the little while that He's talking about. They're having trouble thinking about that joy at the end of it. They're worried about, okay, what's going on with this little while still? You're going to be taken from us? That's the first thing they think. And what are we going to do when that happens? And Jesus doesn't sugarcoat it. He warns them that it will be tough. You will weep and lament, and the world will rejoice. How does the world say this today? Well, the world says, you don't need Jesus. Why worry about Him? You can do it all on yourself. And it's still what it still says. It tells us that, well, our little whiles are completely in our control. We can handle our little whiles on our own. It tells our young people, you don't need to wait on God's little while. You don't need to wait on marriage. Forget about God's little while that He has for you before you can be intimate with someone. You go right ahead. This is your call. It's your life. It's your body, not God's. Your little while should end when you want it to, and not when God says it does when you're married. Does that decision lead to something else? Did it cause a pregnancy? Well, no need for your little while of being pregnant and your little while of having to care for a child probably before you wanted to get in the way of your personal goals, of your life. You know, we can be in control of this little while. It's perfectly legal. The government says so. You can just end it right now. No need for God's little while of caring for this life that you've been giving to get in the way of your ambition. No need to suffer and sacrifice as your goal for a little while of giving yourself to someone else. You can put an end to your little while right now if you choose so. That's what the world tells us. Are you sick? Are you in pain? Are you depressed? Why wait on God's little while to end it all? After all, isn't suffering, avoiding suffering, isn't that the greatest good? Isn't that the purpose of life, to avoid suffering and enjoy yourself? So if you're suffering, if you're in pain, if you're depressed, well, we have doctors that can help you end all of this. And you can stop being a burden on your family. You can stop being a burden on society. You're in control of your little while, aren't you? It's even legal in some places. You just got to take a little field trip. You can put an end to your little while when you say it should end instead of God. We don't want any weeping or lamenting, do we? You're completely in control of it. We all have our own versions of a little while, and again a little while, don't we? Maybe you're going through one right now. How many of us are content to set and say, as the psalmist does, my times are in your hands, O Lord? Or do we give in to the world and try to take control of our own little whiles? Our Lord has not promised to remove all suffering and tears from us in this life. In fact, He has told us there will be. And we're called to ask Him our petitions. We're called to take it to Him. Even ask Him to take these cups of suffering from us if He sees fit. However, in the end, if that cup remains with us, if God sees fit to allow us to suffer for some time, we ask for patience and comfort amidst these things that we know God is working for the good of those who love Him. He's not promised to take all suffering from us, but He's promised to be with us through every moment of it. He doesn't always give us a way out of our little wiles, but He will be with us through every bit of them. And by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus took that wisdom of the world and dumped it on its head. The world would have us to avoid every suffering, but the Lord strengthens us through our suffering. To us, He says, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." And to those who reject Jesus and His cross, He says, "Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." St. Peter, who was so confused during those 3 days of Jesus' absence in the tomb, was led by the Holy Spirit into all truth after the resurrection. Listen carefully to what Peter says to the church that lives in a world that has no patience for enduring little whiles of suffering and sorrow, and rather looks for immediate gratification and pleasure for pleasure's sake. In 1 Peter 1, Peter says this, "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Though we do not see Jesus, we have that sure and certain hope. This is what Jesus was warning His disciples that night and telling us about, that though we don't see Him, we believe in Him and rejoice that He has been raised from the dead and will be saved by faith in Him. In one way, the apostles had two little whiles. The first one was a very short one, 3 days in the tomb waiting for Jesus for a very short little while before the joy of the resurrection. But these same apostles would then have to endure another little while, a much longer one. When Jesus raised to the right hand of His Father, they endured a much longer little while, much similar to what we do in our lives. Though they didn't understand how long a little while was, though we often ask the same question, "Oh Lord, how long?" We are called to endure our little whiles for however long they might be. But it's a little while that leads to great joy. Because even now we have hope in that promise. Easter joy, knowing our Savior's been raised. The joy of our sins forgiven. The joy Jesus gives us through the Holy Spirit that He promises to send us in our text today. That Spirit who teaches us all things through word and sacraments. That joy of knowing that Christ will come again to take us home. A little while we wait, and then a whole lot of joy in the presence of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.